This is June the 12th, 2016, and we are arrived at the congregation, a community of love, to receive the blessings of Christ and to express our gratitude and our appreciation for the blessings of God, our Creator, and all the wonderful things that have nourished our life and the fulfillment of blessings that have been given in the past. Welcome, everyone, and please know that this call is for you. This call is not to persuade any particular belief or any particular denomination of belief. It's simply a call between Christ, Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and you to bring to you whatever is your heart's desire, your heart's need, and your life's longing. And I would love to hear from anyone in the congregation because it's so great to feel the presence of others here and know what's in your heart and mind. So let's see. Okay, here we have Scott on the call. Scott, your line is opened.
Good afternoon, Glenda.
Good afternoon.
There's some slightly sad news from Orlando today. Have you seen
the
news?
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a shooting last night, and it's reported to be the largest mass shooting in the United States. Dozens of people were killed at a club in
Orlando. Oh, my gosh, I had not heard that. Oh.
It's not a club I was familiar with. It was a gay club in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
And it's reported to have been committed by someone who was, they were of another religion, but they were also reported to be disturbed because of seeing two men kissing, and then they acted this way. So it's kind of a sad thing, but it also begs the question, even people that are more oriented to the physical or seeing the addiction, should they be also always afforded just in a loving manner and not being treated harshly?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can think in any situation such as that, what would Yeshua do? He certainly would not pick up a gun. As a matter of fact, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And in all things, he would find a way to make peace, to bring peace, hopefully to bring understanding, forgiveness, and the ability for people to get along, even though they have differences of belief or lifestyle. We are still one family. Right now, our human family is pretty dysfunctional. I have to admit that for lots of reasons. Our global wars, the fact that we don't take care of each other, the fact of so much hatred and distrust, the fact that we let so many people starve. We're a pretty dysfunctional family. But we still are a family, and we have to remember that. And there are certain things we just don't do to our brothers and our sisters. And I'm so sorry to hear that news, Scott, but thank you for bringing it into the blessing call, because I know that there are many, many heavy hearts in your part of the world and among those who know about this story. I try not to listen to the news, because I offer blessings unconditionally anyway for whatever is going on around the world. But thank you for letting us know about that.
Also, can I please say thank you?
Yes?
For I actually am able to have peace because I've been given the blessing of the protocol and to be able to bless. So it affords me to have peace even when things are bad. I can feel productive or part of the good. So thank you very much.
You're so welcome, and thank you thank you for being in the midst of it with a spirit of blessing. And I see that Mary's on the call. Hi, Mary. I'm going to open your line. You're on.
Hi,
Mary.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, I want to echo part of what Scott said and just give deep thanks for being able to learn so much from these blessings. And I want to say I have been glued to my television. I just am so heartbroken over the events that have happened. But I really find myself uniting in all of this, in what's happening in our politics and in our nations and in our cities. I unite with the doctor who I once heard said, please, God, let me heal whatever part of me contributes to the energy of this in the world. I just want to use all of this as a reflection to look at things in their innocence rather than in judgment, and to stand back and learn and be accountable and responsible for what I project onto others and into this amazing world. It makes me want to be a better, more open, loving human being and let all of this collective mud that's being stirred up finally be looked at and used as fertilizer and allow us to heal. And I just, as painful and murky as it all is, I see signs of hope. I see people raising their voices saying, we will not tolerate behavior against other human beings. We want to stand united. And so it's my prayer that all of this allows me to become a better person and more grateful for all the blessings we've been given. So that's just what I wanted to share today.
That's a beautiful sharing, Mary, and I'm sure that you're right, because when we actually see the magnitude of hatred that is held in the hearts of some people, when we see it projected into a destructive display of pain and cruelty against others, that's when we see that it's no longer acceptable to even have secret hatreds. We must deal with the poison inside ourselves and assist others in relieving the poison inside themselves. Whenever stress builds to a high point in the world, as it is right now, it's likely to bring out the worst in some people. And we all need to be alert and aware that such a thing could happen. And when we see someone in deep stress who is hurting, to exercise an extra amount of compassion and understanding and forgiveness, because it could just as easily be us, anyone raised to a level of very, very high stress will behave in whatever would be the worst possible manner for them. Now, your reaction to stress would be different than this person's. My reaction to stress would be also quite different. I would probably cry a lot. I would probably become an antisocial hermit if I was driven to so much stress that I simply couldn't face the world. I wouldn't do what this man did. But anyone driven to a very high stress point will have some manifestations of that high stress. And it behooves us as a family to be aware of that and to always be alert to when someone might need to be in extra special attention and care. And I think this is what we all need to be looking at right now. The stress of this year is a long ways from being over. and it may get worse before it gets better. This will be a year in which we really turn a corner in how we view our global unity as human beings and how we view our spiritual destiny as children of God. It's not just something I feel, but it is the most common message that's being shared among spiritual leaders of all denominations, all beliefs, from the most conservative to the most liberal, to those who channel, to astrologers, to medical people, pardon me, to social workers, teachers, and people in so many capacities who deal with human beings. This will be the year we turn the corner, because those who have the ability to actually note and measure stress levels are noting that it is turning to a very high capacity right now. In support of this, we will be offering a blessing seminar almost surely in September, at the latest October. I would love it to be in August, but I'm not sure we can get ready for it in time. We certainly need it, the sooner the better. And as soon as we finish our current webinar, there will be a webinar for blessing givers to train to teach other people the blessing. Because I do respect and understand and have compassion for the fact that it is expensive to travel, and for some people there are other encumbrances, obligations, or disabilities that prevent them from traveling, but they still want to be part of the team. So we want to be expanding the teachings of this great work. And all of these things will be happening in the near future. And as this happens, we will be accumulating more possibilities on the bright side of life for becoming more of the positive that we can be, more of the healing energy that we can bring to the world. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to take the remaining 15 minutes today to talk about something that I think is really very, very important. It's important for the condition the world is in today, and it's important for us, who all of us, who are struggling on how do we take the next step, the next evolutionary step. How do we become more than we are so that we can have a greater influence in the world? We can bring about more blessings, or in a very practical way, have more income to afford better things for our family, or obtain the health support we need, or the relationships we need. How can we have more on the growth and evolutionary side of this great equation that exists in the universe? In this universe, there is, really, really is, a basic fundamental balance point acknowledged by all scientists, all engineers, and perceived by all spiritually adept, enlightened people who study the universe for how we, as humans, can best serve it and have it serve us in return. And that simple equation is split right down the middle, not 50-50 down the middle, but decisively in the sense that what is on one side is distinctively different from what's on the other. And that split is between the patterns and the laws of entropy. That entropy means the self-consuming side of existence, where particles literally eat themselves up and disintegrate. They fall into the black holes of suction and annihilation and are literally burned out, almost as if they were just put into, well, I don't mean to be too graphic about it, but the fires of hell. And everything is literally consumed. But on the other side of that eternal equation is evolution and growth, where everything is filled with light, actually composed of light, and expanding. This is something we really did not understand until after the major breakthrough work of Albert Einstein and the later quantum physicist, that the universe functions on two levels. Before that, we had the laws of Isaac Newton, where he said in the second law of thermodynamics, the universe is consuming itself. It consumes itself in order to literally create the fires by which the planets burn and the gases are liberated and so on and so forth. All the functions of the universe are made possible. Well, to use an analogy that would fit his theory, by putting logs on the fire, harvesting the trees in the forest, putting logs on the fire, and then the fire functions and fuels the universe. But it is, over a long period of time, going to consume itself. That was the second law of thermodynamics. And it was believed that everything was being consumed, and eventually it would fall to dust until God saw fit to recreate it. But lo and behold, quantum physicists began to discover, and astronomers began to discover, that not only are we not being consumed, our universe is expanding. And it's expanding at way beyond a 50-50 ratio of consumption and expansion. So it's not just expanding enough to pay for the consumption. It's literally expanding exponentially. And what is all this about? What does this mean? Well, for one thing, it means that there are two distinctly different functions in our universe. One is based upon the absence of light, and the other is based upon light and life. And I think we've all had moments where we fell into darkness, and in that darkness, the most frightening part of it is the way we were literally consuming ourselves. It wasn't just being in the dark, being afraid, being alone, feeling depressed. No, it was much worse than that. It was a feeling of being consumed. And we had that feeling until something happened. Something triggered a change within ourselves. And we flipped over to the other side of the equation. And maybe we didn't start with very much to work with because we had allowed ourselves to explore that dark side way too long. We as living souls always have a choice. We always have a choice. But in the physical universe, chaos is not tolerated. And so if something is chaotic too long, the universe will simply begin functioning like a trash compactor and then a giant recycler, and it will consume, and then for what it consumes, it will eventually bring back to life. So there's nothing ever lost. We now know that. So let's don't worry about that side of the equation. What I want to talk to you about now is how we make the most out of the lighted, living side of the equation. Yeshua said to follow life in the living. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who follows me shall live eternally. And that shows us that there is no end to how light can perpetuate itself. In fact, it travels on infinitely, infinitely, and there is no end to it. There's one of his parables that I love, and it's about walking the second mile. He said, if a man asks you to walk 1 mile with him, walk two. In another place, if a man asks you for one fish, give him five. In other words, don't act in the area of life. Don't act as if there's ever any scarcity. Because acting with scarcity is exactly what flips you onto the dark side of the equation. Have you ever noticed how dark-seeming Scrooge-like people are? People who don't share, who don't give, who are always worried about not having enough? And on the other side of the equation, how much easier and more joyful life is for those who live with life in the living and are happy. Well, this goes along with something else that Yeshua taught me. It has to do with the 1% principle. Sometimes we don't have very much. I know in my life there are times when I had just enough to get food for the table for dinner. A lot of times it was that way in my family growing up. I did not grow up in a materially privileged family, but my family always, always operated with a spirit of abundance. And always they gave at church. And not just at church. If somebody else needed something, they would give to the other person before they would even put food on their own table. And yet they always had food for their own table. Now, Yeshua calls this the 1% principle. And that is, if you've got 1%, give it. And that 1% will bring in 2%. There's always 1% more that you can give. And that 1% more will bring in 2% and then 3 and then 4 and then 5. Sometimes we don't know how we will get out of a limited situation. We've been sitting there, spinning our wheels, praying, asking for help. But all we really need to do is take action for 1%. There's always something we can do for 1%. And when we take action and do something for that 1%, it makes all the difference. And 2% is then created. And this brings up another subject that I think is actually a great deal more important than what some people call the law of attraction. Because this really is a law. It's the law of accumulation. The so-called law of attraction is really not a law at all. It rests upon the fact that our universe functions to a large degree on magnetic attraction, to the fact that like attracts like, and also opposites attract. In other words, attraction is a major activity in the universe that we can use for our benefit, but it doesn't always work in a predictable way, as you've probably discovered. There's really not so much a law to it as a power that we can utilize when we've got everything scooped out and programmed and we've got a pretty good picture of what we want and how we're going to do it. We can plan on implementing the powers of attraction to accelerate our gain in the many situations of life. But I'll tell you something about the law of accumulation, and it really is a law. And I'm going to give you some examples. Let's just start with nature and the way nature behaves. When there's a drought in an area that has gone on for too long, small amounts of rain really don't make much of a difference. And it's almost as if the small areas that have received the rain, that barely are hanging on for grass, for trees, they begin to die off. And they die off to desert. And even when the rains come back, the vegetation does not return. It's gone. This is how the great deserts of the world were created. For a long time, it was believed when animals, well, it was necessary to take certain animals into captivity because we had certain species that were going extinct. And what was happening is that when they reach a certain level in their population where there just are not enough, they either stop breeding or they don't have enough variation in the gene pool to support healthy propagation of the species. So the animal caregivers, those who are into professional animal husbandry, caring for these species of the earth, would take them into protective custody and work on ways to prevent this. And they were noticing that it just wasn't working, and they thought captivity is what was causing it. But they learned by capturing more and increasing the number of, whether it was antelopes or whooping cranes, or the little sea turtles down here, or other species that they're nurturing, they would bring the population level up to a certain point. Then the species, they would start breeding again. It took a certain amount of accumulation for the species to begin recognizing itself as a viable species and wanting to survive. It's really an amazing thing. I had, at one point, I had some fruit trees I was growing, and I only had two. I had a male and a female. And they never, ever would propagate, even though there was a male and a female, and they both bloomed, and I would even do what I needed to do to assist them in their propagation. someone told me, well, I think you need to have four. I got four, and then I got fruit. In other words, there was a certain amount of energy that was needed for the species to recognize its viability of life. There's another story I've told many times, and I won't do it in length, but I was trying to get bluebonnets started on my parents and my home property as a girl. And we got seeds every year, and we did all the right things for freezing the seeds and then soaking the seeds and planting the seeds, and they would never come up. So I got so exasperated one year, I went to a nursery, and I purchased gallon cans of bluebonnets, and I planted the actual mother plants around the property and also planted the seeds. All the seeds came up. I did the same thing I had done all the years before. Now, what in the world was going on? There was a certain law of accumulation that was in effect. When I had a vineyard, and it was on sandy property that just loves grass burrs, I couldn't get rid of them. I couldn't dig them out. I didn't want to use herbicides because that would poison the soil. And the farm specialist said, you don't have to worry about all of that. Just plant Bermuda grass and feed it so that it becomes the abundant species. And then the grass burrs will stop propagating. Automatically, they will just stop propagating. And I thought, that's strange, isn't it? In other words, what was accumulating would grow more. And that which was recognizing itself as a scarcity would die out. So now, how does this relate to us? Well, I'm going to bring this in several ways that relates very directly to our blessing, our prayers. Sometimes we think that praying once is enough. We think, well, if God's listening, he'll hear my prayers. Why do I need to ask again? Well, maybe you need to ask again from another perspective, on another day. In another situation, from another part of your heart, your life, your being. Maybe you need to make prayer a dedication. Why do we need more than one blessing? Well, that feeds back onto what I want to tell you about health and healing. When you break a bone, let's say your arm, you break it. No, let's say a person breaks a bone. I've certainly broken a few in my life. It starts to heal one cell at a time. And first, it's part of the bone that begins to heal. And then the nerves and the muscles around the bone. And then the outer tissue and the skin. It doesn't all heal at once. And the process of healing actually triggers in our body a pattern of restored wholeness. You see, here's where we're really, really leading in all of this. And that is that our universe is built upon a grand plan. And that grand plan is called wholeness. Wholeness. This universe wasn't really built on a one thing at a time type of growth and evolution. It was set forth instantly as a plan, instantly as light, instantly in a command, let there be light, let it be. And there was wholeness. And our life is pulled back together by plans of wholeness. Whether we're recovering from a cold or flu or a broken bone, we will be restored by patterns of wholeness. And that includes prayer. It includes an improved attitude. It may include forgiveness. It may include rest. It may include nutrition. It may include medicine. It may include therapy and patience and tenderness and, above all, love. And as we put all of these things together, what we are doing is building a sense of accumulation. At a certain point in the process of accumulation, whether it's your body or a field of bluebonnets, wholeness then is recognized. And once wholeness is recognized, then the whole thing comes into place. It's all recognized. It's miraculous how fast everything comes together once that pattern of wholeness is recognized. This is true in our work, in our career. Someone was asking me the other day, did you have any idea, Glenda, that you would be doing what you're doing right now? And I said, oh, heavens, no. As a matter of fact, I resisted it. But I did the first thing I was asked to do, which was to paint a portrait of Yeshua. And then I told no one we had a conversation. But I did take the painting out to the world, so I got used to talking to people. And then, as the congregations and the audiences grew, the painting went to a church where it could be visited day and night. And I was allowed to paint again. And I was allowed to restore my personal wholeness. Then he came again and he asked me to speak. And I pushed it away. I thought, no way will I do that. But he said, why not try it? Give it a chance. And I talked to just one audience. And then another. And another and another. And I recorded the messages. And I thought, okay, that will do. That's my work. My work is done. Until people started calling me and asking me to visit churches and speak. And I consented, but there were too many to go to, so I decided, well, I have to write a book. And so I wrote Love Without End. And then there was the demand to teach Love Without End, and I did. And as I taught, he taught me more. And I learned more. And all the material came about for writing the second book, The Keys of Yeshua. Now, I hope you're also seeing that I'm talking about the 1% principle here. It started with 1%, which was me giving in to the very first request he made of me. Growing, accumulating. And then it accumulated more and more until I was asked to become a minister in the oldest church on earth, the original church founded by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And I didn't think of myself as a minister, but I consented. And then on January the 1st, I was consecrated a bishop, and I went, Oh, heavenly days. Oh, my gosh. What does this mean? But I just allowed it to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate until one day it became very apparent to me that this is my life. This is what I came here to do. And he called me. He came to bless me, and then he called me to bless others. And so the law of accumulation contains within it revelations. The same is true in your career. The same is true for accumulating money. You may have $10, and all it will do is buy one meal, and not even a very good one at that. If you save it, it'll buy two meals. But if you manage to save more and more and more, eventually the money you save will be combined with other things that you accumulate, such as friends, perhaps career accomplishments, until one day you look at that nest egg and you look at what you've accomplished in your career, and then you look at your partner, and then you look at an opportunity and you say, oh, my heavenly days, this is what that money was for. I had no idea when I started. We are asked to be patient with God because all of God's works are by the law of accumulation. We are told not to be impatient. There are so many, many scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament about waiting on God. Waiting and waiting with faith. Well, so you're healing something. Don't just do it one way. Receive a blessing. Come back next week for another blessing. Work on your diet. Get news from your friend. See a medical doctor. Maybe see a holistic practitioner. Maybe have a prayer partner. There's so many ways you can approach one particular challenge for the betterment of accumulation. And there'll be a moment in that accumulation where all of a sudden the wholeness of it all appears. And you'll say, yes, that's it. That's how it will be done. I see now. I see the bigger picture. I know this was a long lesson today, and thank you for being patient with me. But I thought it was really important that you hear this now, and you be ready to hear this throughout all of your life, because God's blessings are sometimes given with miraculous suddenness, but that miraculous suddenness is often laying on top of a large foundation of preparation. Preparation in faith, preparation in hope, and preparation of courage. Sometimes we are asked to wait, and then we see the whole thing. So let us be ready now to receive Christ's blessing today, to receive the energy of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, and the grace of God. Be seated and allow your attention to fall quietly and silently into your hearts. And we will hold in our heart special thoughts and prayers and blessings for those who are hurting now and wondering what kind of troubled world are we living in. We pray that they be lifted from the dark side. And we pray that the pattern of wholeness on the bright side will be revealed to many and many as soon as possible, that we shall begin seeing why and what and how it shall all be revealed. Dear Yeshua, thank you for giving us courage to be patient. Thank you for giving us hope to hold on. Thank you for giving us charity, that even in our least amount of whatever we shall give to others, and know that there's always enough. Thank you for holding us in your heart and taking us from the darkest places into the light. We thank you for your love and your everlasting strength and encouragement and patience with us as we move forward accumulating our strengths, our talents, our hopes, our benefits, and our accomplishments one after one after one until the whole shall be revealed. We ask all of this in your blessed name. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now, it's time for you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes and receive the fullness of all you've been given. Allow it to become part of your body, heart, soul, and being. You are very loved, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.